Hello and welcome to Radio Havana Cuba's Scientific and Medical Report. I'm Lena Valverde, your host. Stay with me as I will bring you details of the latest developments in the fields of science and healthcare in Cuba and around the world. The Director General of the World Health Organization, WHO, Tedros Adhanom, said over the weekend that Europe has now become the epicenter of the COVID-19 pandemic, with more reported cases and deaths than the rest of the world, apart from China.
Europe has now become the epicenter of the pandemic, with more reported cases and deaths than the rest of the world combined, apart from China. More cases are now being reported every day than were reported in China at the height of its epidemic. I will repeat this one. More cases are now being reported every day than were reported in China at the height of its epidemic.
The WHO chief expressed the organization's encouragement that many countries are now acting on the 8 pillars of the WHO's Strategic Preparedness and Response Plan. Most countries now have a national plan, most are taking a multi-sectoral approach, and most have laboratory testing capacities, he said. Long before the new coronavirus outbreak, the World Health Organization had advised countries to invest in health system strengthening. In statements to Euronews back in October 2019, WHO chief Tedros Adhanom warned that the world community was very vulnerable to an airborne pandemic.
How well is the world prepared today for the next pandemic, the next massive Ebola outbreak or antimicrobial resistance, whatever the challenge is? Are we ready as the world to face a big pandemic again?
Ebola is actually lousy. It's not really as hard as airborne viruses, like, for instance, flu. Like pandemic flu that killed close to 100 million people 100 years ago in 1917-1918. And even now, the world is not ready for that kind of epidemics, or is not ready for pandemic flu. We're very vulnerable, and that's why we released a report actually recently in New York with a title saying World at Risk, because the vulnerability is still very high. We have countries with weak health systems, and, that affects the whole world, because we are as strong as the weakest link. So we need to invest in preparedness. We need to invest in health systems strengthening. We need to up our solidarity so the whole world is prepared. No single country can prevent major epidemics alone. It's through doing it together, through investing in health systems, investing in preparedness, that we can avert tragedy like, if, God forbid, if major epidemics like pandemic flu happens. That's why we're saying now that the world should invest in health system strengthening, in fixing the roof before the rain comes. But we are very vulnerable as world community.
That was the WHO chief, Dr. Tedros Adhanom, speaking to Euronews' Nathalie Hewitt during the 6th Replenishment Conference in Lyon, France, month before the emergence of the new coronavirus in late December 2019. The WHO has insisted, though, that the current COVID-19 outbreak is a controllable pandemic if countries step up measures to tackle it. In his remarks over the weekend at the media briefing on the new coronavirus, the WHO chief said that the organization's message to all countries around the globe is the same.
Our message to countries continues to be, you must take a comprehensive approach. Not testing alone, not contact tracing alone, not quarantine alone, not social distancing alone. Do it all. Any country that looks at the experience of other countries with large epidemics and thinks that won't happen to us is making a deadly mistake. It can happen to any country. The experience of China, the Republic of Korea, Singapore, and others clearly demonstrates that aggressive testing and contact tracing combined with social distancing measures and community mobilization can prevent infections and save lives.
On Friday, the WHO, together with the United Nations Foundation and the Swiss Philanthropy Foundation, launched the COVID-19 Solidarity Response Fund to enable individuals and organizations from around the world to contribute to the fight against the new coronavirus.
Together with the United Nations Foundation and the Swiss Philanthropy Foundation, WHO is launching the COVID-19 Solidarity Response Fund to enable individuals and organizations to contribute. Until now, we have been relying mainly on governments to support the response. We thank all those countries who have supported WHO's strategic preparedness and response plan. Now, everyone can contribute. Funds raised will be used to coordinate the response, to buy masks, gloves, gowns, and goggles for health workers, to buy diagnostic tests, to improve surveillance, and to invest in research and development. Every dollar donated is a dollar toward saving lives. We're all in this together. I thank you.
Meanwhile, here in Cuba, no new cases of COVID-19 have been reported up until Monday, March 16th, while the four COVID-19 patients identified remain hospitalized and are progressing favorably. Authorities said the country has all necessary resources to ensure patients' full recovery, while efforts have intensified to prevent any further spread of the pandemic on Cuban soil. Dr. Carmelo Trujillo, head of the Ministry of Public Health, or MINSAP's Department of International Health Control, held a press conference on Sunday. He emphasized that the implementation of all measures established for the prevention and confrontation of the new coronavirus continue, in close collaboration with all central state administration agencies and ministries. Dr. Trujillo reported that border surveillance has been increased and strengthened at all ports of entry, with teams of health professionals carefully following protocols, while active monitoring continues at the primary care level and in hotels to ensure the timely identification of possible cases and take appropriate action. Family doctors and nurses are also conducting active searches in the communities to identify and monitor all individuals with respiratory symptoms. You're listening to a new edition of the Medical and Scientific Review, a program heard every other week here on Radio Havana, Cuba. And the third conference on the Society for Medical Anthropology took place from March 9th through the 12th here in Havana. The Society for Medical Anthropology is a section of the American Anthropological Association. The conference here in Havana held sessions parallel to the Cuba conference Anthropos 2020, organized by the Montané Anthropological Museum. The Luis Montané Chair of Anthropology of the University of Havana, the Cuban Society for Biological Anthropology, and the Eupithecus Primate Studies Society of Mexico, in collaboration with the Latin American Association of Biological Anthropology, the Cuban Institute of Anthropology, the Fernando Ortiz Foundation, and the Society for Medical Anthropology of the American Anthropological Association. Issues discussed included social determinants of health from social medicine, critical epidemiology and critical medical anthropology perspective, sexual and reproductive health and rights, and indigenous movements and intercultural care in health. The event attracted medical anthropologists mainly from Russia, the United States, Europe, and from other Latin American countries.
My name is John Verano. I'm a professor of anthropology at Tulane University. It's a private university in New Orleans, Louisiana. I'm a biological anthropologist or a physical anthropologist, and my work is with the human skeleton from archaeological contexts, also mummies. And I teach osteology, paleopathology, which is the study of disease in ancient people. And also I do forensic anthropology occasionally for helping with identifying the dead and trying to figure out how they died and things such as that. Anthropology, it's a very broad field, as you must know, and there are four primary divisions of it. There are cultural anthropologists who study living people and, as the name implies, cultures. The archaeologists who study physical record of human activities in the past. Linguistic anthropology, which is often included, which is linguistics, the study of languages. And finally, biological anthropology. And that's my field, and that includes some pretty broad areas like primatology, the study of monkeys and apes, human evolution, and genetics. My specialty is in the study of archaeological populations, their physical characteristics, their skeletons, their mummies if we have mummification, which we do a lot in Peru where I work. And I try and do my best to use what I know to reconstruct the lives, the health, and the genetic relationships indirectly through the skeleton between ancient populations. Try to bring them back to life in a sense so that I can communicate that. How were people back then? What did they suffer from? How healthy were they? I'm here in Cuba because of this International Congress, Anthropos 2020. And it gave me an opportunity to not only come to Cuba for the first time, but also participate in an international symposium that is organized primarily by Cuban anthropologists, but inviting specialists from all over the world, as well as medical anthropologists as well. This is a very strong component of this program. And Arachu Castro, who's one of my colleagues at Tulane, is organizing that. So there's a lot on public health here, but there's also material on archaeology, primatology, and what I do, bioarchaeology, paleopathology. So I'm very interested in just hearing what's going on, what people are doing here, and what's being presented here, and hopefully seeing some materials in the future or preparing to do some collaborative research with colleagues of mine here. I first got interested here because there are a couple of mummies that are in the Bacardi Museum in Santiago de Cuba that I've seen photographs of, and I was contacted by actually a Spanish and a German researcher who are working here with Cuban specialists because they were curious about where these mummies came from. They were bought apparently in about 1900 by one of the Bacardi family and then put in a local museum. So they wondered why these Peruvians were here. And one of them has a trepanation on the skull. So that's something I'm very interested in, cranial surgery. They know I'm an authority on that in Peru, and I've published a book on it recently. So they invited me to participate, give my opinion. And so I'm here also to collaborate, to talk further about also some possible Cuban cases of trepanation, and this would be an indigenous Cuban pre-Columbian samples. I think there may only be one, but there may be one that's historic as well. And so I hope to see that, or at least plan to come back and study that with specialists here.
Thank you.
Those were statements to a radio station by U.S. anthropologist John Verano, who participated in the third conference of the Society for Medical Anthropology that took place this past week here in the Cuban capital. And that's all we have time for today. Join us every other week for Radio Havana Cuba's Scientific and Medical Report. Until next time.